Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 10th day of August 2020. And we have as a returning guest today, my friend Dr. David C. Innes, who is returning for part two of a discussion we began on May 6th. That is part two of our discussion on his book, Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. And David is professor of politics and chair of the program in politics, philosophy, and economics at the King's College in New York City. And he, for many years, was a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, Long Island, New York, where I first met him, and where he, when I also lived in Long Island, he used to attend many of the debates, the public theological debates that I orchestrated, primarily with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And I believe now he is a member of the Bohemia, or the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Bohemia, Long Island. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's a member of a different OPC church in Huntington, I believe. Well, I'll have him clarify that. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. David C. Innes.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be back.
And you are, in fact, a member of the Trinity OPC congregation.
Yeah, Trinity Church. Yeah, we meet in Syosset, which is, you know, on Long Island. For your listeners, it's Long Island. Trinity Church, yeah.
Yeah, and it used to be in Huntington or Huntington Station.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're renters because it's very expensive on Long Island, so we have to move around. But I'm a minister in the OPC as well.
Amen. And so tell us about the King's College in New York City.
The King's College in New York City is a Christian college with a core of politics, philosophy, and economics. People study media, they study business, they study journalism and politics, philosophy, and economics. And we're a seriously, intentionally Christian college with an aggressively Christian mission. So there are about 500 students. We're right down by the stock exchange, and it's a bold adventure.
Well, I want to give our listeners the website for the King's College. If anybody wants to look up more information on the King's College, perhaps either you or your children may want to investigate becoming a part of the student body there. And the website is tkc.edu, tkc.edu. And also, if you have any other information you'd like to find out about our guest, Dr. David C. Innes, he has his own website, dcinnes.com, dcinnes.com. As I already mentioned, we are discussing Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life, part two of our discussion that we began in May. And a lot has happened since May. In the media, obviously, everybody is sitting fixed, either that or hiding somewhere and trying not to watch what they are hearing about on the media or in the media, because it's so, to many, terrifying. But tell us again why you wrote this book to begin with.
Well, I wrote this book because there seems to be a dearth of understanding about the foundations of politics. People know there's, you know, three branches of government in this country and so forth, but the country is deeply divided. And the country is deeply divided because we have so little agreement, if any, on fundamental truths, even what a human being is and how we should treat them. So the church should lead in that regard of being united and understanding what human purpose is, what government purpose is, how it is a blessing. And so I wrote Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. And there are other books on politics out there by Christians, but nothing as systematic as this that goes through the basics of what is authority, what is politics, why do we have government at all, and what are the problems, the fundamental problems with government, why can't we agree on things, and what some of the solutions might be. So it seemed to fill a hole that I perceived.
Well, I want our listeners to have our email address in the event that they have questions of their own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And so, David, one of the things that you just said about your catalyst, your purpose in writing the book, is that there is so much disagreement and confusion, but that does not exempt the church, even does not exempt those that believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and are biblically literate and are even leaders in the church, not only perhaps under shepherds in their own congregation, pastors, elders, Bible teachers, but even leaders in their denomination or leaders in the parachurch world, well-known authors. I have had folks on this program, sometimes in the same week, sometimes back-to-back on different days, who have taken 180-degree different positions, it seems, on the same issue of how we as a church should most appropriately and biblically respond to what is occurring around us, and perhaps even more specifically, how the government is wielding its authority and how we are to respond. And that, and even I'm going to make it even more of a narrow group that disagrees, theologically reformed, not only Reformed Baptist versus Paedo Baptist, but even Paedo Baptists disagree, and even Orthodox Presbyterians. So it seems that this is really, it's clear that the church is divided on this. And shouldn't we make sure that no matter what our positions are, even if we zealously and aggressively and enthusiastically defend and proclaim our positions and even give them great weight, don't we have to be very careful about the condemnation that we may be tempted to hurl or have already hurled against our brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree?
Yeah. Moral questions and political questions are moral questions. Stir our moral passions and we go crazy and we get polemical. So it's no surprise that people are very divided on these questions, even amongst, you know, Reformed, even Reformed Presbyterian, even Orthodox Reformed Presbyterian people. Even with the scriptures available to inform us, but all the more reason, because this subject of moral questions, questions of justice, questions of how to sustain a good life together. Because these divide us so passionately, there needs to be a place where a means by which we can think dispassionately about these things, soberly about these things. And my book, Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, is not a polemical book. It's a sober, thoughtful book. This is an accessibly academic book, so it's theologically informed. It's philosophically informed, It's historically informed, and this is a book to sit down and converse with. Not a book that you're going to pick up and go, yeah, those are my opinions. Finally, someone said it. And you know, if you want that, go to Twitter. Twitter is where people, I can't imagine you're on Twitter, and stay off of it. But
I'm on Twitter once a day for one sole purpose, to promote my radio show, and I never look at it otherwise.
There you go. But that's where people, shout at each other and communicate in slogans, and the echo chamber happens. And I suppose Facebook is the same way, and some other social media. But in the college classroom, amongst sober Christian friends, at Bible studies, from the pulpit, and in books like this, this is where we say, what is the truth? How then shall we live? What does God say? How am I wrong? And how can I be right? How can I love my neighbor by helping my neighbor to see what is right for God's glory and for my neighbor's flourishing? So that's what I hope to accomplish by this book.
And by the way, I did not intend to convey the idea in my statements that I believe there are not moral absolutes. There are certain political issues where I don't believe a Christian has wiggle room. I think that the murder of unborn children is something that every Christian must vehemently oppose. And there are other things that would go hand in hand with that. Every Christian must be opposed to the sin of homosexuality. Now, that second one, there is a bit of a difference, even though we must all, as Christians, declare that homosexuality is an unnatural and damning sin if one is unrepentant when participating in that wicked behavior. There may be differences of opinion on how those in political power respond to people behaving that way. There's where the difference of Christian views on politics may come into play with, and do come into play with, that area. But there are things, and I'm assuming you would agree, that there are black and white things. There is no reason why a Christian should be considering himself and considered by others in good standing with God or in right relationship with God if indeed they believe, and in fact even some professing Christians enthusiastically and zealously and aggressively believe in a woman's so-called right to murder her unborn children, and even children who are born, quote-unquote, accidentally alive during an abortion attempt. And one such notable individual who has become globally praised on a daily basis for weeks very recently is a politician in Congress who passed away very recently, who believed in partial birth abortion, and even who believed in, or should I say, opposed the Infant Born Alive Act, believed that a woman should be able to allow her child to die in a shoebox or somewhere else in an abortuary where she intended to kill the child, but the baby was born alive. And this person has been globally been identified as a Christian. But would you agree with me that there are certain areas where we have no right to claim a neutrality or a gray area, or even zealously promote those things like abortion?
Yeah, there are some things over which people can reasonably disagree. There are some very serious matters on which we should be united, but sadly we're not. And then there's some things that are support for which are evidence of a depraved mind. And like if somebody were to say that today, oh, I believe in racial slavery, you say, leave the room. You're not morally capable of carrying on a conversation. But I don't know if anyone believes that today, but that would be a fringe view. Whereas a support for abortion is a sign of a depraved mind, and a very unwell heart. but it's so popular today that nonetheless you have to give an argument against it. And of course there are arguments you can give against it, but it's not something on which Christians can reasonably disagree. And so you have, for example, Joe Biden is the Democratic, virtual Democratic nominee for president, and there's been some question about whether he is a Christian in good standing, and the, you know, Catholic bishops saying, well, no, you can't be a Catholic in good standing and have the support, active support for abortion that you've had over the years. So you know, there's a very practical demonstration of that, the limits of debate on in the Roman Catholic circle. But yeah, no, but yeah. But nonetheless, but the principles I provide in the book, the purpose of government is to protect life and to protect the conditions for material, spiritual, and moral flourishing. If the government is not protecting unborn life, preborn life, then it's not doing its basic job. So the book gives basic guidance on things like that. And if you're not a science denier, if you're all about science, well, science supports that the baby in the womb is a human being, separate DNA, separate blood type, and so forth and so on. So there are strong arguments you can bring to bear, but of course, prayerfully, because. Oh, my.
Yeah, it is fascinating, ironic, and ridiculous, actually, that many on the left are accusing those of us on the right as being science deniers, and yet they will deny personhood to even fully formed infant children who are denied the rights to live if a woman, for any reason, wants that baby murdered. And who deny the genetics of science, who deny men are men and women are women just because of how they feel or how they may think at this moment about an issue.
Well, Chris, this is what I'm talking about the fragmentation in the country. The country... America is in a crisis, and when I say a crisis, it's in a mortal crisis, because there is such profoundly fundamental fragmentation among us. We can't, as I said, we can't even agree on what a human being is. Half the country wants to be able to kill babies. There's this reigning orthodoxy that I should be able to choose whatever I want to be. And some of the issues you just mentioned, the transgenderism, the gender fluidity, and so forth. And this has become public orthodoxy, and it did overnight. And it's insane. And Bruce Jenner, as you recall, decided that he is a woman, and that he's always been a woman. And then, like that, the historical records, switched to, what's his name? Caitlyn Jenner now? Caitlyn Jenner won the men's decathlon in, what was it, 1972? Wow, a woman won the men's decathlon back in the 70s. What an extraordinary thing. Like, history was rewritten. This is just madness. But that's where we are. And if you don't affirm and recognize the madness, you yourself are considered mad, depraved, unfit for civilized society. That's where we are, and that's why the church needs to step forward as sanity, as health, as God's created order, as an example of community, as community ought to be. And, that's the challenge of the church. So I hope my book helps the church in identifying the problems and identifying how to respond to those problems.
Yes, and that last issue that you just raised, the T in LGBTQ, a transgenderism, so-called, that is even the subject of heated debate, I think, far more heated than we even see in the media between those in that the series of letters, LGBTQ, there are very sharp lines of division between perhaps even especially lesbians and the transgendered, but even some homosexuals in general. Obviously, there are homosexuals or those who practice that behavior who disagree on politics for all reasons. There are those that are fiscally conservative, and even in some areas, other than the area of homosexuality, morally conservative. Other even pro-life homosexuals. But the issue of whether a man who thinks he's a woman should be able to compete in female sports, that's something that is divided sharply. Those on the left who are either heterosexual feminists or lesbians.
Yeah, it works its way out into absurdity, like the woman in Germany who wanted to who felt she loved a no, it was a British woman. She loved the German chandelier and she wanted to marry it. Well, why not? But the issue here is not the immediate question. The issue here is in what we just described is there a moral order to the universe? Is there a creational order? It all comes back to the doctrine of creation. And if there is not, then all these moral claims about rights and so forth is utterly meaningless. It's just what you can grab and what you can take and what you can enforce on other people. If there's no moral order to the universe. But they do believe these are moral issues, but they have no foundation for it. They have no basis for making these claims. And the other issue is, these people, typically I think these people have suffered terrible trauma in their lives, or they're suffering from some sort of disorder, and they need love from other people. They need help, and you are prevented by law from loving them in the way they need to be loved, in the way they need to be benefited and helped. And that's a very serious matter. There's all kinds of people now you can't love. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're forbidden by law from helping some of the most suffering people in the country because of this radical confusion that reigns over us, that has the force of law. So this is the problem. This is why I start the book with the doctrine of creation, fall, and redemption. What was the purpose of creation? What is the purpose of human beings? The creation mandate we were given at the beginning. And so what is the purpose of government relative to that? Government is to support us in fulfilling the creation mandate, to have dominion over the earth, to spread the knowledge of God over the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea, and to develop God's creation in love and community. That's what the purpose of government is. You lose sight of that, you lose sight of a lot.
Creation. What do you specifically mean by foundations in the subtitle?
Foundations. Foundations are the fundamental creational principles of the universe. So we were made in the image of God. We were made for love. We were made for dominion in God's name, to rule in righteousness. These are foundations. And the purpose of government is, as I said, to support us as individuals, as families, as the church in doing these things. The thing about foundations is that they often go unnoticed because they're the presuppositions. It's just what everyone accepts or is blind to accepting. But they're always exposed. They're always in view. So, for example, our society generally accepts as gospel truth evolution. It's just not questioned. People don't see it. We just accept as gospel truth that we're all fundamentally individuals and that families, societies are composed out of individuals. They're just things we make. And that the most important thing is my free will, my autonomy over myself. And that if I want to be, if I'm a man, I want to be a woman, I can be a woman because I'm autonomous and so forth and so on. So the book clarifies the starting points, the fundamental creational purposes of God the moral structure of the universe that he made, the spiritual end for human beings, and within that, and only within that, can you understand yourself, politics, everything properly. You get the foundations wrong, the starting points, the fundamental presuppositions, and then you get everything wrong. And I think that's a big part of why people disagree, is because they should start at the starting points. Instead, they're bickering over policies. So there has to be foundations of political life. If you're going to write a book on politics, just as you write a book on science, you start with atoms, right?
But several chapters are in your book on the purpose of government. Why so much on that?
The purpose of government. Well, if you everything has a purpose. If things don't have purpose, then there is no creator. If there is a creator, then everything has a purpose. And if something has a purpose, there's a good in it. There's a way in which it's good for us. And if you mistake the purpose, you're going to use something badly, and it'll hurt you. If you use a tool for something other than the purposes for which it's intended, you will end up hurting people or breaking things. Right? If you use a screwdriver for what it's not intended for, or something like this, you're gonna hurt people or break things. And government is not the screwdriver; it's the awesome coercive power of government. And if you misuse that, you get tyranny, you get oppression, you get suffering on a vast scale, whether it's, you know, the ill-conceived welfare policies of Johnson's Great Society or Stalin's blessing over half the earth, right? So you've got to use this right, and God tells us what the purposes are. If you think the purpose of government is just to do everything that is conceivably good, then you'll have government tucking us in at night, tying our shoes for us, blowing our noses, providing a living for us, et cetera, et cetera. You have vastly totalitarian government that would just crush our humanity into powder. So you have to understand the purpose of government in order for government to be for our good as God intended. God gave government for our good, Romans 13:4. Well, to know how it's good for us, you have to know what God's intentions were for, what its creational purpose is. And typically when I pick up a Christian book on politics, there's not much talk at all about that. But I'm a political theorist as well as a theologian. As far as I'm a pastor, I'm a theologian. So I ask this fundamental question.
Well, we have to go to our first station break. And if anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's Chris Arnzen, CHRISARNZEN @gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Dr. David C. Innes on Foundations for Political Life right after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community.
This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ.
In fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours of the program is Dr. David C. Innes, Professor of Politics and Chair of the Program in Politics, Philosophy, and Economics at the King's College in New York City. We are addressing part two of a discussion we began in May on his book, Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you have a question of your own. Please always give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have Laszlo in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, who asks, how does identity politics square with a biblical worldview? Is it a sinful presupposition? And obviously, I think a good place to start with answering that question is defining identity politics. David?
As I understand it, identity politics, a Christian, your identity is in Christ, right? I'm a Christian. That's the most fundamental thing about me. I'm also American. I'm a Scottish-Canadian American. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm various things, which are all very important, and some of them are dear to me, but fundamentally I'm a Christian. Identity politics identifies a particular ethnicity or oppressed person class as your fundamental orienting identity, and even identifies a gospel related to that. If I were only empowered relative to this identity, then everything would be well with me. It's a false gospel. It makes it an ideology. But of course, I mean, if somebody is of an oppressed minority of some sort, then that should be addressed. Oppression is by definition not good. But identity politics identifies liberation from that oppression. That marginalization as a gospel, as a sufficient good. So, and that's, you can see right away the tension with the gospel of Christ. We are different ethnicities. We are of different ablement. This person is a paraplegic. This person is Asian. This person is of some other identifiable group, fine. And some of those things are undesirable, like not having the use of your legs is obviously an undesirable thing. Other things are perfectly good aspects of God's creation, but to identify yourself fundamentally as that, and particularly as an oppressed person in relation to that, and your sufficient good, and freed from that oppression, empowered relative to other people, then it's deceiving. It's a false promise, and it also sets people against each other, sets them at suspicion toward one another, and it tends to be ungracious. It's extremely ungracious. It identifies people as hostile to this and seeks to punish them and so forth, ruin them. So it's intimately connected with cancel culture.
And people have different levels of importance they have been assigned by the left, as if these folks are God-breathed, inerrant writers of some kind of scripture. And, of course, the God who is breathing this is not the God of the Bible that we know and love and believe in. But I'm not saying that they actually attribute it to a god or a goddess, but they act as if these things are inerrant. They will react to you severely and punish you in any way that they have the power and authority and ability to punish you if you disagree with them on these things.
The other side of the ungraciousness is the arrogance. No hint of self-questioning, no sense at all that maybe there's one or two things I haven't thought through that could have terrible consequences if we put my agenda completely into practice. None of that whatsoever. And the other side of that is it is completely ungracious.
Now, I forget the phrase they use, even though it's been repeated on the show many times. But there is a certain, as I was saying, a hierarchy of importance of rights where, for an example, a lesbian, transgendered, black person would have rights that seem to trump even a male, homosexual, white person's because of that person being not only female, which is been viewed as an oppressed minority group, and being black, which has been considered an oppressed minority group that would trump the white color of the other person, and the transgenderism, which trumps even just your run-of-the-mill activities involving homosexuality. Am I right on this? And I can't remember the phrase that they use.
I don't think I keep that closely up with it. But it does, it seems to me, run into all kinds of absurdities. I mean, you mentioned earlier the trans athlete who then, with a male biology, male musculature, male everything, cleans up in the awards for the women's track. It's absurd. Whereas if we take God's view that everyone is made in the image of God for having equal human value, various human callings, but equal human value, equally made to love and to be loved, ultimately loved by God, but also loved by one another, and that is not always an easy thing to figure out, but exactly how to do that, but nonetheless, to love one another. This is good news, and it would clear up an awful lot of this stuff. And the Christians have not always been very loving, and even institutionally, you just think of not long ago the racial segregation. Now we sort of our minds boggle. That happened in this country, racial segregation, real cruelty. That wasn't loving, and that was based on a misunderstanding of fundamental creational principles. And we've had things wrong too, but we should be in a position to get things right as we study it. And Chris, you know, having studied heresies, and I'm sure you've interviewed people on various heresies, are always an opportunity for the church to refine its doctrine, its moral doctrine, its doctrine of Christ, its doctrine of the church, and we're facing horrible anti-gospels today, which are confronting us with the need to refine our thinking on all sorts of matters, political matters, sexual matters, and matters of justice and love. And we should seize upon those opportunities. And that's what I hope to be, I hope to contribute to that conversation with Christ and the kingdoms of men.
I just remembered the phrase I was looking for, intersectionality.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, just a bunch of nonsense. Unbelievable that any mature adult with three brain cells would believe in this stuff. But...
And yet it's the orthodoxy, it's the public orthodoxy. Corporations hold to it, institutions of higher education and lower education hold to it, the media, entertainment, everyone holds to this. It's orthodoxy, and if you question it, you are you're in deep trouble. I just point out, Chris, that in every age there is an established religion. There is always an established orthodoxy. For most of Western history, since the rise of the church, that has been a Christian understanding, and until very recently. And now it's not as if, well, we've put off Christianity. Now we have the freedom of thought. No, there's, as you've pointed out, and as I've pointed out, there is a reigning orthodoxy, and if you question it, if you violate it, if you speak errantly with regard to it, you can be ruined, lose your job, lose social status, everything. And that involves what Bill Buckley in the 1980s started calling political correctness. Wokeness, now it goes by, progressive ideas of various kinds, which always seem to be progressing. And this is why cancel culture. This is why if you an errant tweet and the Twitter mob descends. So there's always this reigning orthodoxy. It occurred to me yesterday. I thought,
in fact, David, could you remember what occurred to you yesterday when we come back from the break? We have to get our midway break right now.
Sure.
Please don't forget what you remembered yesterday. as I said, we have to get our midway break. It's longer than normal. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break, because they have to abide by FCC regulations to localize Iron Trep and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida. So they air their own public service announcements in the middle of the show while we air our globally heard commercials. Please write down as much of the information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more successfully and frequently patronize them. And also write down questions to Dr. David C. Innes, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back after these messages.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible,
the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They are a crucial sponsor, a primary sponsor, a vital sponsor of this program. Without their financial support, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle from God. So please always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. And there's plenty of reasons to buy gifts coming up in your life, I'm sure, like birthdays, like wedding anniversaries. A lot of people get married in the summer, so I'm sure that there is a lot of weddings and wedding anniversaries coming up. Retirement gifts, back-to-school gifts, bereavement gifts. And please always remember, don't just buy your Christian friends gifts from solid-ground-books.com. Perhaps even more importantly, remember those who are lost in your life, because a book that you give them from solid-ground-books.com may be used of God to lead them to eternal life with Christ. So please, always remember solid-ground-books.com. And always remember to tell Mike Gadosh and the folks at solid-ground-books.com that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our discussion today with Dr. David C. Innes, part two of a discussion we began in May, that we hope that you will send us a question involving. This is part two of Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. And this is part two of our discussion on that book. We just have some important announcements to make before we return to that conversation. I hope as many of you as possible join me on Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference, Basics of Biblical Counseling. This is being held at High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania, which is in the Scranton area. And this is going to be, I'm quite sure, a fascinating and highly informative conference being led by Dale Johnson, who is the executive director of ACBC, the aforementioned Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. The lectures of this at this conference include the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, what makes biblical counseling biblical, and a Q&A session led by Dale Johnson with the audience. If you would like to register for this event or just find out more information, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, that's S-C-R-A-N-T-O-N, -PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. And you could also go to the website of High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania, for more details on the venue. That's highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. Please greet me if you attend at the Iron Sharpens Iron Exhibitors booth at this ACBC Conference, Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August. That's Friday night and all day Saturday until 5 p.m. I hope to see you there. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion by doing so. You can also, if you prefer snail mail, send in a check the old-fashioned way, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. Just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. You can't be promoting something that I militantly oppose, unless, of course, this involves a debate where the side that closely reflects my views is present or something like that. Please remember, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. Please never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio if you're having a real struggle making ends meet. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your family and your church. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously, but if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please give as frequently and as generously as you can by going to ironsharpenzionradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You may have lots of extra money lying around collecting interest because of the fact you haven't been going out fine dining due to the quarantining going on. You haven't been going to your favorite sporting events. You haven't been going to concerts, movies, theatrical performances at theaters and playhouses. You haven't been going to Bible conferences. Whatever the case may be that you have been saving your money, well, please use some of that money, if not all of it, to help us remain on the air, if indeed you love the show and don't want it to disappear. So ironsharpenzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I want to thank all of you who have been taking heed to the call for help. Quite a number of you have risen from the shadows, if you will, that I have never heard from before. There are new sponsors that have been extremely generous. I am so thankful and so grateful beyond words to you. And you have really helped make up for a loss. We have lost our two largest financial supporters they didn't close their businesses, but their businesses were so negatively affected and impacted by the hysteria involved with the coronavirus pandemic that they had to postpone further giving to this program, and they were our two largest supporters, as I said. So we thank all of you for helping make up for that loss, and those of you who have not yet done it, please help us make up for that tremendous loss, either for the first time or by giving an increased amount than you've given last time, or perhaps you just haven't given in a while. As long as you can afford to do so, we would love to hear from you at ironsharpenzionradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. We also want to remind you, if you are not a member of a local, biblically sound, Bible-believing, biblically faithful Christian Orthodox church, and I'm not speaking about Eastern Orthodoxy here, I'm speaking about Bible-believing evangelical Protestant church. If you're not a member of one and you cannot find one, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've helped many people in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within minutes of where they live, that they didn't even know existed. I may be able to help you, so send me an email if you fit that category to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and I will help you the best as I can from these lists that I have to find a church, either to join and become a member, or if you are visiting a different area other than where you live for a vacation, or if you have a loved one who is in that need of a church, no matter where they live, send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. But "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Dr. David C. Innes and our discussion on his book, part two of our discussion on his book that we are addressing today, that is Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, Foundations of Political Life. This is part two of a conversation we began in May on this program. chrisarnson@gmail.com is our email address, chrisarnson@gmail.com. David, I don't think that you ever answered the part of Laszlo's question where he said, is this identity Pollux worldview sinful?
Is it sinful? Any false gospel is sinful. So can you hear me, Chris?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Any false gospel or adherence to a false gospel is sinful. So if you're just feeling oppressed because you are a paraplegic and people judge you for that or exclude you from society in ways they shouldn't, they look down on you, you're denied a job which you can do perfectly well, then you've been done wrong and you should address that, and people should address it on your behalf. But if you view that as your identity and your hope in life is to have this addressed, and then that becomes a false hope, which is a false gospel, which is of course sinful. So on that level, if I'm defining it correctly, then sure, but I would address that by pointing people to the true hope and the true gospel and a true understanding of their need, while sympathizing, of course, with any oppression, any injustice they're suffering, and helping them in love to address those. So I would put both of those things together. Pastorally.
Well, thank you, Laszlo. And guess what? Due to the generosity of our dear friends at P&R Publishing, Bryce Craig, and the wonderful folks at P&R Publishing. Sorry for butchering your name initially, Bryce. I've known Bryce for decades, so I'm sorry for doing that. But Bryce has been very generous to supply us once again with copies of this book for listeners who have questions. And Laszlo, you live in Carlisle, so there's no need for them to mail you a copy at cvbbs.com, located right here in Carlisle. It's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who sells all of P&R Publishing's titles. They will have that book, God willing, by Friday, because Bryce just had those copies shipped out today, so they do not have those copies yet. But if you give cvbbs.com a call on Friday, I am quite certain by then, since they usually have, P&R Publishing has such a quick turnaround with getting books here. They usually get here, believe it or not, the next day from when they ship them here to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. But if you want to call CVBBS first, their number is 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, and they are open 10 a.m. Eastern to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, Laszlo, for the excellent question. We have someone else who has a question for you, and this is a person, I'll give his full name, because he was actually a guest on this program addressing a similar subject, although not connected to any book he has written, and somebody who is a friend of yours, a mutual friend of both of ours, who we know from the good old days at the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square in New York, where Bill Shishko at one time was the pastor. Dick Guido, who is a member of both the New York and Alabama Bar Association and the Bar of the Supreme Court. Dick has a question for you, and I'm looking for that right now. And while I look for that, folks, you can send an email of your own at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Dick says, Dr. Innes, do you believe it is biblically permissible for a Christian to vote for a candidate whom he believes to be morally unfit for office, but with whose politics he agrees?
Oh, that's the question. That's a sit-up question. That's a Donald Trump question.
Well, you know, that could actually be the vast majority of people who Christians vote for, because very rarely, especially when it comes to presidents, this may be very different depending upon where you live, when it comes to mayors, when it comes to governors, when it comes to those in Congress and the Senate, those who are, you know, different local political figures. But I think most of the time when we vote for a president, we are not voting for a genuinely regenerate person. I mean, of course, there are exceptions. There are many who believe George W. Bush was a and is a brother in Christ. But I think that's something that we have to do on a regular basis, it seems, when we go to that voting booth. Well, Dick, I'm sorry, not Dick, David, do you have an answer to it?
Sure. In all seriousness, Donald Trump does not exhaust all unrighteousness in politics. But in all seriousness, this is a hotly debated subject, and people can reasonably disagree on this, I think. However, I believe that as the scriptures teaches, God provides government for our good. He raises up and he brings down. And in most places in the world, first of all, we're in the rare situation of being able to choose our government. In most places in the world, you get the government that is born into power, that seizes power by force of arms, and so forth and so on. And God raises up those governments by various means for people's good. A pretty basic good, and the governments typically are wicked people, and they are typically violating most of what God says is righteous in government, but nonetheless there is good there. But we have the privilege of choosing our government, and we don't get to choose them. It's not a universal write-in campaign. They work their way up through the parties. They present themselves to us for our consideration and our voting. And God is raising them up. So in 2016, God gave us the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for president. In 2020, we will have, as things stand, the choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden for president. And we got to make a choice. And there's some who, like David French, would say, no, you've got to set a moral minimum, a moral, spiritual minimum. And if we keep settling for what they present to us, the parties, then that's what we'll get in the future, and we'll be taken for granted. We can exercise our influence as Christians most helpfully if we say, these are unacceptable choices, come back when you have an acceptable one. I take the attitude that government is there to protect us in our lives and property and our moral and spiritual environment and so forth. And you make the best of what you're given. Sometimes it involves voting for, they say, the lesser of two evils. But if this is what the Lord is providing, this choice for my good, and I know it's either this person, he's either raising up this person for my good or that person for my good. And as a citizen, I am given the choice of saying, I think God is raising up this person and not that person. I'm going to choose one or the other. And I'm going to maximize the good. This person is going to, in my judgment, do a better job of preserving what is good and resisting what is evil. Though no doubt there'll be evil mixed in with this person's efforts or this person's party's efforts. Nonetheless, this is the one I think God is raising up. Because God is raising up one or the other. I get to put my hand, use my hand as, in a small way, God's means for raising up one or the other. And it's going to be one or the other. So, in that regard, I think, a Christian can in good conscience vote for, how did the question put it, somebody of, who is morally unfit for office.
Right.
That's a quote. What is morally unfit for office? I'm not relativizing that question at all. I'm just saying it's a question. But, so I think you can, Donald Trump, three times married, foul-mouthed, the Billy Bush interview,
extreme narcissism.
Narcissism, yes. And how about politically unfit for office? He didn't seem to know how the Constitution works. He didn't seem to be. You think as President of the United States, you wouldn't be maybe a constitutional scholar, but you should know how it works. And he didn't seem to. So he had his problems. But on the other hand, many people thought Hillary Clinton had even worse problems. more serious problems. So it was a choice. And of course,
even over the issue of constitutionality of things, the left is always violating that.
Pardon me?
I said, even though Hillary may have been worse morally than Donald Trump, she even, in her views, violates the Constitution on a regular basis, as do most of the left.
Oh, yeah, well, this, yeah, that's a problem, too. Even if morally fit for office, okay, one candidate says he will oppose abortion, the other candidate has never seen an abortion she didn't like. When you think of, this is not a campaign speech, I'm taking the question seriously, because it's a very serious question, but when you consider what in our day would bring God's wrath upon us, God's judgment, 60 million plus abortions, the constitutional right to kill your baby, that's something that would bring God's judgment. So maybe that's relevant to which candidate for the highest office you would vote for, the way we call good evil and evil good today, the way we're given over to unnatural desire, that has a prominent place in Romans chapter 1. One candidate fully supports giving ourselves over to a completely unbiblical view of sexuality, and the other one, I think Trump was fine with it, but he wasn't going to push it, right? So, well, that's something that arguably brings God's judgment on our country. Maybe that should be relevant. It's fair. And maybe neither candidate is, in a sense, morally qualified for office, but maybe that qualifies a candidate for office. Your stand on these major moral crises of our day. Think of the 1860s. What was a major moral crisis of our day in the 1860s? You get three guesses and only one counts, right? Slavery, okay? So with slavery being the overarching moral issue of the day, it really matter whether or not this candidate has cheated on his wife recently. Now, of course, we don't want candidates who cheat on their wives, but when you've got this overwhelming moral issue resting upon the country, then you know, that surely is the first place you go for moral qualifications for office. Abraham Lincoln opposed slavery. The other one was for it. You know, does the conversation stop there when you're considering the highest office in the land and who's going to nominate justices for the Supreme Court? So, you know, as I said, it's a question on which reasonable people in Christ can differ, but I would offer the weight of that argument on one side.
Well, thank you, Dick. If you did not win a copy of David's book, excuse me, from part one of our discussion in May, you are free to have one today. Send us your full mailing address in Raleigh, North Carolina. And our friends at CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship that out to you. Let's see here. We have another individual who has written in a question. And I typically, as I said before, don't give the full names of people who write in questions, just their first name, city and state of residence, and country of residence. But I'll make another exception with this person because he happens to be pastor of a church that I think is worthy of promotion on this program. His name is Pastor Gary Wagner. And Pastor Gary Wagner is the pastor of the Reformation Heritage Church. I'm trying to find, I had it right in front of me, Reformation Heritage Church, and it is in California. I know, I just can't remember the exact city right now, but I'll find that in a moment. Let's see here. Pastor Gary says, Greetings, Chris and David. We know that redemption is the answer to all of our problems, along with much prayer. But what else can we do as Christians to overcome the tyranny of COVID regulations, the false media, and the anarchy in the streets? Those are different things. Chris, David knows me through my daughter, who is a member of his church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her name is Tara. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry.
Taryn. Yeah.
Taryn Clark. Well, that I did not even know that part of it before I was just about to promote Pastor Gary's church. But if you could.
Well, that is a big question. Just because it has different parts. He mentioned the COVID crisis, and governed obviously has had a response to that, and it has impinged on us in various ways, not just personally and economically, but also as churches, and also mentioned the disorder in the streets. The disorder in the streets, the rioting and so forth. I don't know how he's doing in California. Things are pretty quiet on Long Island, but we see horrors on the television just this weekend in Chicago. Government's basic responsibility is to secure people and their lives and the conditions for material flourishing, moral and spiritual flourishing, right? So property, in short. And what are they doing? They're not preserving people and their property. They are not preserving people and their lives. People rioting the streets, and I'm not talking about peaceful protesters. These are rioters. They're breaking things. They're smashing things. They're assaulting people. They're looting. We've seen it all. And a lot of governors and mayors are saying, stand down, don't oppose them. Well, you can oppose them, but don't use this, that, and the other means. So they're tying the police's hands behind the back, and then they're going and they're defunding police, as they've done in some of our major cities. So it's a horrible failure of the basics of government. And then the COVID, the government's had a response to the COVID. I'm just going to fill in some background information here. The government response to the COVID, I think, has treated that threat to life as the only concern, the paramount concern, as opposed to other threats to life: suicide, drug abuse, drug addiction, dying of other ailments, because everything is focused on COVID and not on you know, heart disease and so forth and so on. We've heard stories about that. So it's been a failure of political judgment, a failure of statesmanship. We've got a chapter on statesmanship in Christ and the Kings of Men, but Pastor Gary's question was, we as Christians, aside from evangelism, the Lord's redemption, prayer and so forth, what can we do in response to these problems, the problem of disorder, the problem of COVID, government response to COVID? Well, let's start with the COVID. I think what we can do is, on the one hand, show your neighbor that you care for your neighbor. Like, it's questionable, it's debatable, let me put it that way, meaning it's a subject of legitimate debate. You know, how well masks work, what measures actually mitigate the spread of this virus and so forth. But in some cases, it's just basic politeness, which is a form of loving your neighbor, showing your neighbor I care by putting on a mask before you go into the drugstore, before you go into the grocery store, the Home Depot. So that's a way we can stop it. And churches, I see churches gathering. I was supply preaching in one church. Everyone was masked and distanced, but they're kind of cool about the whole thing. I was in another church where I was preaching, and nobody was masked, and nobody was distanced. I thought this was remarkable, that there would be this difference in the same denomination, in the same metro area. But personally, I would mask up for worship and maintain a suitable distance. depending on the relationship and people's comfort level. I think that's just a way of loving your neighbor. I'm not happy about doing that forever. I think at some point the cost becomes too high. You to prevent some disease spread and consequent death. You live in a society where people are constantly masked toward each other. You don't see people smiling at each other. It breaks down healthy relationships. It instills a sense of fear in society toward one another, and that is a tremendous loss. And I think at that point, the response to the disease is creates more trouble than it remedies. And if some people die and I'm one of them, I'm fine with that, right? I give my life for my country because you can ask me about that further if you're interested. So that's something we can do for the COVID. As for government overreach, well, we have votes. We can campaign. We can talk to our neighbors in a civil and constructive way. These governments are accountable. And November and 2 years from November are going to be very interesting. What was the other thing? The riots in the streets?
Yes.
Same thing. Write to your government, petition your government, tell them you are very concerned, you are afraid. It's just a disgrace what's happening. I don't think the governments are hearing from enough people, let's put it that way. Unless there's anything more, Chris, if you could refine the question, because it's a very broad question.
Well, I don't think that we really have time to. If Pastor Gary wants to send in another question or clarification question, but I think that you've been informative as to your own views on how to respond to these dilemmas that we find ourselves in, and I did find all of the information about the church where Pastor Gary serves as the under-shepherd, as the pastor. It's Reformed Heritage Church in Los Gatos, California. And the website is reformedheritage.org, reformedheritage.org. I believe I incorrectly said Reformation Heritage Church earlier. It's Reformed Heritage Church, and that is a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery, also known as the Covenanters, and we always enjoy hearing from Pastor Gary with excellent questions.
You know, Chris, I say that it surprises me that in light of these riots and looting and Antifa out there behaving as disgracefully as they are and so forth, you don't see 10,000 people out regularly protesting the rioters. Protesting the disorder, supporting the police. We did see it here in New York. There was a whole bunch of people, a lot of them from the black church. Most of them are seen from the black and Hispanic churches in the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn, protesting in favor of the police and against the mayhem. And so I'm surprised we haven't seen more of that. So that's something we can do as citizens. Just get out there with your bodies and your numbers. But it takes organization. It takes an organization to organize people and bring them out. And maybe there are more people who are coming out of their parents' basements to riot and loot than there are like working people who have time for that kind of thing. I just throw that out there.
Yeah, well, we have to go to our final break right now, and if you have a question that you'd like to ask, send it in now or forever hold your peace because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of David C. Innes after these messages from our sponsors.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance, as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com
That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we have just about 8 minutes left or less for our discussion today. If you have a question, send it in immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And David, I would like you to have about 5 minutes right now to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we leave this program.
Okay. All of us are responsible for how we live our lives, what we promote, what we impede, what we build, and what we destroy. Something should be destroyed. Something should not be built. Something should be built, and so forth. And you have to understand God, His universe, His created order, the true hope of human beings, the gospel, our created purpose, in order to do that, to live your life well and to live it well for others. And in Christ and the Kingdoms of Man, it's a book about the foundations of political life, but it starts from the foundations, and I hope it helps people order these things in their minds, so not only that can they be good citizens, not only can they love their neighbor with their politics and the politics they promote, but they can be better people, better Christians, salt and light in the world in general. So, and that requires thought. That requires maybe a thoughtful pulpit you're sitting under. It requires thoughtful books and thought-provoking books that you're given. So I tried to write a book that was as broad as life itself and has application to particular political acts as well. And Carl Truman wrote the foreword. I appreciated that. He summarized it nicely, saying that the book is proceeds from a robust theology of creation, which is true. And without that, you don't get very far. So I commend the book to people's reading, so that they can lead a more thoughtful, more biblically founded life for the glory of God and for the loving of their neighbor. And let me just say, before we went to a few breaks ago, I talked about in every age there is a reigning orthodoxy. It's not like, well, there used to be orthodoxy and now we're all secular and so there is no orthodoxy. No, you can tell what the reigning orthodoxy is by what you are absolutely not allowed to contradict. And I mentioned John Lennon. In 1966, John Lennon, in an interview, said the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. I don't know if you remember that. And
yes, I do remember that.
He got in trouble for that, and he had to apologize because the reigning cosmology, the reigning understanding of the order of things, was still recognizably Christian. Whereas today, it pertains to offending political correctness, offending feminism, offending certain left-wing ideas concerning race and sexuality. And if you violate those, you're in deep trouble. Corporations will drop your sponsorship. Corporations will leave your state. The NFL won't play there anymore. You will be fired from your job. You will be a social outcast. That tells you there is a reigning orthodoxy, a religion, and you have violated it. You have legal freedom of speech, but socially, you are constrained. And in Christ and the Kingdoms of Men, I try to identify what that is and what the biblical view of things should be, what God wants the reigning orthodoxy to be in our public life, in our social life, and how it is actually better. It is more loving to your neighbor, it is more flourishing for everyone, it's healthier, and of course it is truer to his word. So I throw that in for your audience's thoughtful consideration.
Well, Pastor Gary from Reformed Heritage Church in Los Altos, California, has a clarifying question that we invited him to send in.
Mm.
And I am enlarging the question because the font is microscopic and I'm almost blind, it seems. We have, thank you, Chris and David. That is what I wanted to hear, for Christians to get out and counter-protest. The COVID issue is, what can we do to overcome the oppressive regulations of our individual states before the election? Do we just refrain, shut in, and watch our economy destruct until the elections? Our church is meeting face-to-face against Governor Newsom's regulations because our people were crying out for fellowship. We are following protocol, and we have been doing so for weeks without anyone getting ill. Not only that, but we are commanded by God to congregate together. Okay, so there we have somebody who is a part of a group like John MacArthur and others, my friend Dr. James R. White. They have been meeting in spite of what their governing authorities say, because they don't believe the governors of their states have even a constitutional right to make those regulations. You have others who believe that we should be within reason, and that there's no exact time frame given, it seems, but there are those that said, no, we've got to obey the governors as long as they're not forcing us to sin, and a temporary shutdown is not sin. But they will all inevitably say, but after a certain period of time, it would be sin to never again meet and forsake the assembling of the brethren forever. So even those on that side of erring on the side of obedience to local secular authorities do believe there is a point to say enough is enough. So I guess if you could answer Gary's question before we run out of time.
Yeah, let me address the MacArthur and COVID thing in particular. The government has a right to regulate natural things, spaces and so forth. We allow, you know, the government says you can have only so many people in the building for so much space, maybe 190 people or whatever. The government says there has to be certain fire doors, fire regulations, building codes, right? And if you violate those, you can't use your building. And one could say that the COVID problem is an example of that. On the other hand, if they're going to tell the Church of Christ you can't meet for worship, and it's open-ended, and they're saying you can't have more than 50 people, regardless of the size of your building, and that doesn't apply to anyone else, regardless if it applies to anyone else, if it's completely unreasonable, and they're just preventing the church from meeting for worship, then the church, I think, should say we must obey God rather than men. Now, the MacArthur statement doesn't address those respects in which the government can regulate the use of their building, right? But it seems like in the California situation, as far as I can tell, the church is within its right to say, we're going to meet for worship. Now in the MacArthur case, they've got 5,000 people in that building. Maybe their problem is they've got a mega church. And maybe churches aren't supposed to be mega churches, and that's part of the problem. My church, we meet in the pastor's backyard. We had 102 in the pastor's backyard this weekend. It was very humid, and we had a couple of other problems, but still we were there for worship, even though we can't be in our building, for one reason or another. So maybe part of the problem is they have, their church is ridiculously large.
Well, perhaps we could have you debate Phil Johnson on that sometime on my show. Phil's a dear friend, and I've had him on many times. He is the executive director of Grace to You. And that's just another issue that divides true brethren in Christ.
I support MacArthur's saying we're going to worship. This is where we worship. This is how we worship. And they did obey for 4 months. I'll point that out. They agreed with the government for 4 months, and then at some point said, okay, now you're being ridiculous, and said we must worship God. Now you're regulating the worship of Christ. You're not really regulating building space and health issues. So I think that's worth saying in their defense.
Well, David, we've run out of time, and I want to have you back. I know that David has other books that are coming out in print soon. I'm sorry we didn't have time to address those and give a little plug for those, but we will have you back on to address those for full programs. I want to make sure that everybody knows you can contact David at dcinnis.com, and that's DC for David, middle initial C, Innes, I-N-N-E-S. That's I-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, E-S.com, dcinnis.com. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.